welcome to Eamon Talks, the Affiliate Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Rob Davidson, and on today's episode, we're discussing app tracking with a client who has recently implemented this via their affiliate program and seen some huge advantages to doing so. Nicola Hughes is the affiliates lead at the UK online retailer Very, a hugely successful business in the UK that sells a wide variety of items via its website and increasingly popular app. I sat down with Nicola to find out more about how the business came to the decision to implement app tracking and how it now informs their affiliate marketing strategy. You can read more about the early success they've seen from this new development to their affiliate program on the Eamon site, among our most recent case studies. And if you're interested in finding out more about how Eamon is supporting the adoption of app tracking, then I'll include a link to our strategic partnerships team who can tell you more. Nicola and I also talk more broadly about her experience at Very, where she's worked for a number of years in a variety of different marketing roles, as well as her expectations for the future of the industry and how they're preparing for another Q4 peak period. All in all, it's a really fascinating insight on how a forward-thinking brand is using the affiliate channel to help achieve its goals and drive growth, and one that I think you'll enjoy. So enough from me, and on with the interview. So I'm now joined by Nicola Hughes from Very, and I wanted to kick off, Nicola, just by welcoming you, first of all, to the Eamon Talks podcast. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. Good to be here.
I wanted to start just by a bit of an introduction to our audience would be great. So if you could tell us a bit about who Very are, and particularly because we've got a bit of a global audience for those that might not be familiar with the business, and also maybe a little bit about your specific role and historic roles there. You've been there for a little while, haven't you?
Yeah, sure. So Very is basically an online department store. So we have just under 2,000 brands across a variety of product categories, from fashion to home, electricals, beauty, toys, the full range, as I say. We're also the UK's largest integrated retailer and financial services provider. So alongside those great brands, we're able to help make them affordable and accessible to people with flexible ways to pay, various different payment options and things like that. So that's Very. In terms of my role, I sit within our performance marketing team. I look after the affiliates channel and also the display channel as well. Just sort of making sure that our activities in those areas align with business strategy and our key objectives. We've got a clear roadmap of things that we want to achieve throughout the year. Yeah. That's me.
I know that you're currently in that performance marketing role at the moment, but you have worked in various other parts of the business. Could you tell us a bit about those and whether or not they've helped to inform maybe your perspective on the value that affiliates now drive for the marketing team?
Yeah, so I've been with the business a long, long time. Won't give my age away by saying how many years, but various different roles, always within the marketing team, but I've done sort of CRM type roles, brand, PR. I even did a bit of a stint reporting and analysis type role where I looked at performance across all of our digital channels and made recommendations for optimizations where we should allocate our marketing budget and things like that. So yeah, so that role did help me kind of get a basic understanding of all the different channels and the value that they all add and how they all work together and complement each other. I was particularly interested in affiliates, and that's from that role I then took a channel-led role into affiliates. So I've been doing affiliate marketing for about 4, maybe more years now, at least 4 years. And then just in the last 12 months, I've picked up the display channel as well.
And in that kind of 4 year stint that you've been heavily involved in the affiliate side of things, do you think that the teams, the very teams' responsibilities have really evolved in that time? And I'm always really interested in people who work in these positions who've maybe had broader marketing roles previously, and how those teams at those companies interact and collaborate with the broader marketing team at the brand. And I don't know if you could talk to that kind of particular point.
As the full marketing function, obviously we need to ensure that we're reaching and engaging customers at every stage of the funnel. So we all collaborate, you know, so the performance marketing team is aware of what the brand team are doing, be it through TV ads, out of home campaigns, things like that. We liaise with our mid funnel team to see what are the key brands that they're trying to raise awareness of and get behind, you know, be it on social, YouTube, all of that sort of stuff, just to make sure that we're all on the same page and sort of complementing but not duplicating each other's efforts, really.
Yeah, and that works in tandem pretty well, generally speaking.
Yeah, it does. I mean, we're a massive business, huge marketing department, so I won't lie that there's sometimes some sort of, you know, it's difficult, especially over the last 12 months, you know, when we've all been remote working. But yeah, I think we do a pretty good job of being able to collaborate and make each other aware of what our plans are, so that we can, yeah, all be focused to the same goal, really.
Yeah. And do you think that the perception of affiliates within the broader marketing team, so say from like the brand or the PR or the, you know, the TV campaigns that are going on, is there a kind of a recognition of the value that it drives, or is it seen kind of more as a kind of a conversion channel solely, or is that starting to change at all?
I think there is definitely, you know, recognition of the value that the channel drives. You know, we regularly share our performance with the other teams. We share different campaigns that we've run and key learnings that we've got from those campaigns. I think in terms of the conversion element of it, yes, we probably are seen more as a conversion channel. But that's fine, because that's why we have those other teams working on other elements of the funnel. As long as we're, you know, working hard to complement what they're doing and convert the all that great brand presence and awareness that they've built up, that we're then converting those, helping to convert those sales. That's all good.
Well, part of the reason that we wanted to get you on to the podcast for this particular episode was to do with a recent case study that we've published with you, which highlighted the benefits of having app tracking implemented for your affiliate program. So I did want to ask you a little bit about, first of all, how the business actually came to the decision of recognizing that it was necessary to implement app tracking, and what value they saw kind of in potentially adopting it.
Yeah, so I mean, we were aware when we first launched our app that we didn't have the technical capability at that point to track app sales. At that point, it wasn't a massive priority. Our customers were still you know, generally trading with us via web, but obviously, since then, our app has grown enormously. It's increasingly the way our customers prefer to shop with us. So, you know, there came a point where the app was a certain point where we were like, well, we need to make sure that we're tracking these sales. Otherwise, we're not seeing a true and full picture of our performance. And if we don't have that full view of performance, how can we optimize effectively.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that that's often the motivation for a lot of the brands that we're working with now who are starting to adopt it and implement it. I think historically there was sometimes a kind of speculative interpretation that if we don't track it, then, you know, we don't have to pay for it in a way, which is a really short-term kind of false economy, I think, kind of take on that, because there's so much value in being able to see those granular insights around how customers are interacting with you in this completely different environment, and one that is increasingly a default for how those loyal shoppers are kind of shopping with you.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, yes, we knew that as a business, those app sales were benefiting from the revenue that those app sales were driving. But within our attribution model, we weren't able to allocate those sales anywhere. We weren't able to say that those app sales were driven by the affiliate channel and give them the credit accordingly. And again, it just comes back to that. You're only working with half the picture, so you can't then make your investment decisions and optimize effectively if you don't know which channels are driving those sales from, you know, from an attributed perspective.
Yeah, definitely. And in terms of, like, from more of a kind of practical perspective, like, another obstacle that can often stand in the way of turning this activity on is the actual implementation of it from a technical perspective. Now, I know you're not necessarily from a technical background, but could you tell us just a bit about the process that you witnessed or experienced of actually initiating it, working with the tech teams or coordinating with the tech teams at Very and at Awin in terms of turning that on for your program?
Yeah, so as you say, I don't have a technical background. I'm not techie at all myself, but it was really a case of putting, you know, the relevant teams from Awin and Very in touch with each other so that they could speak directly. The Awin account team was also involved in those conversations and supported the whole process. It was all quite straightforward, really. Obviously, I don't know the technical ins and outs of it, but for me, coordinating it and facilitating those conversations was quite straightforward.
We like to hear that. So once the actual tracking was implemented, what kind of results did you start to see, and were there any specific or partner types that were suddenly you were able to see that data, you could see them contributing maybe more to the program than historically they might have been attributed because you weren't monitoring those sales?
Yeah, we did. So app sales through the affiliate channel is typically now between 20% and 25% of total sales. In terms of the difference that we noticed in, I guess, sort of percentage increase terms, it was mainly the discount sites like ASAP discounts, health service discounts, discounts for teachers, sites like that, where we noticed about a 30% increase on average. But in volume terms, it was the cashback sites where we saw the biggest uplift, really.
And the fact that you've now got the app tracking activated, does that also have an impact in terms of influencing or informing some of your affiliate strategies going forward and, you know, how you maybe work with certain partners?
Yeah, to some extent. So for those publishers where we see a high proportion of sales coming through the app, we are focusing our efforts on, you know, increasing the exposure with those publishers on their app. If their customers have our app, the Very app, it's more likely that they have the publisher's app too. So it makes sense.
Well, I think if listeners want to kind of find out more about that particular activity that you've done through the app campaign, that case study has been published on the AWIN site. And I believe you've done a little kind of video interview as well that features as part of that as well.
I did, yes.
But yeah, looking beyond that tracking, what is it that you see more generally as being the kind of really important, pertinent issues in the affiliate industry right now that, you know, networks or the broader industry should be currently focusing on?
there's a fair few things, but I think even more tracking, I think, is a big one with, you know, obviously tracking prevention being a major challenge that's not going to go away. I think one of our main things that we'll be focusing on anyway is to implement server-to-server tracking, again, for similar reasons to app tracking. We need to ensure that we are capturing as much of our activity as we can, so that we can ensure that we're optimizing effectively. So I think tracking prevention, server to server tracking is a big one. And then I think also just more generally post COVID, how do we make sure that we've got the right strategy in place? Things have obviously changed dramatically over the last 12 to 18 months. I think customers are going to be even more savvy and price conscious than ever. So I think voucher code and discount led affiliates are going to play an even bigger part potentially. Having said that, people are still consuming more content than ever before. So again, content affiliates will be key. I think it's just kind of crucial to stay close to how consumer behavior is changing and ensure we've got the best publisher mix and that the content that we're putting in front of them is relevant.
Yeah, definitely. And actually, you mentioned the pandemic, and that kind of preempted my next question to a degree, because I did want to find out from Very's perspective, your experience of the pandemic would have been different to those retailers that had a physical footprint. And obviously, historically, that's kind of Very's origins in a way. Littlewoods, like 100 years ago, up in Liverpool, classic kind of traditional department store. But those stores that have got those physical footprints have obviously suffered a lot during the last like 18 months or so. We've seen closures on the high streets. Yeah. And this isn't exclusive to the UK. Obviously, this is a trend around the world right now as more of that commerce has migrated online. So what have the last 18 months been like, and what hurdles have Very had to overcome? Because there's obviously different dilemmas that you face, I think, during that period of time.
Yeah, so we've actually been fortunate enough to, you know, we were able to remain operational throughout the pandemic and service our customers pretty much as normal. I guess that's one of the advantages of being a department store, is that as certain areas of our business started to suffer, like the fashion category, you know, for obvious reasons, sales within fashion started to decline, but we were able to then react to that and switch into some of our other categories, like homewares and electricals, which sales just went through the roof, really, on those categories. So, yeah, as I say, we were fortunate enough to have pretty good, pretty strong performance throughout. One of the main obstacles was being able to be agile and switch the demand and get the stock and all of that sort of stuff into homewares and electricals and expand those categories quite rapidly. I mean, we even started to we sell paint now and wallpaper and things like that, whereas, you know, pre-pandemic it was more your traditional sort of, you know, furniture, sofas and maybe the odd lamps and things, but now we're down to paint and wallpaper as the demand for those types of products increase with everyone doing up their homes. So
yeah, there's been a lot of DIY going on.
Yeah, absolutely. I know I've felt that myself. But yeah, so they were the kind of, that's how it's been for us. I think going forwards, one of our main challenges is to retain that. We acquired a huge amount of new customers over the last 18 months. And I think a key objective for us now going forward is making sure that we retain those new customers and give them lots of reasons to keep shopping with us.
Yeah, and I guess the app is almost a pivotal platform in that respect, because if you've got customers downloading the app, it kind of suggests or demonstrates a degree to which they're already loyal to your brand and that they want to shop with you more frequently. If they're, you know, kind of downloading your app and there's an intention there to obviously return.
Yeah, absolutely. We know that our app customers, you know, their average order values are higher. They have a higher trade rate, just overall generally more profitable for us. So we are also looking at potentially doing some app install campaigns as well through the affiliates channel. So we'll see how that goes.
Definitely. Okay, well, just to kind of round things off today, I wanted to look forward in the short term. We've got Q4 obviously is about to pick up, and the golden quarter, all of the peak period events that are going to be kicking off around then, Black Friday for instance. How are you preparing for that pivotal period, and what are your expectations for how popular you think it might be this particular year with online shoppers?
Yeah, blimey, that's a good question. I think the Black Friday period just seems to get longer and longer, doesn't it, every year? You know, it was a day, yeah. and I think we're into the weeks now. I think we've actually as a business started our Black Friday planning sessions just in the last few weeks. I think we're just trying to kind of anticipate what sort of levels of demand we're going to get in each category. We know we're focusing on trying to get fashion back up to the levels that it was pre-pandemic. But it's usually for us, it's electricals is the key category for Black Friday. So, yeah, so much planning to be done. And I have no idea how this year's event is going to turn out, if I'm honest. I wouldn't want to predict it.
No, it's a funny one, isn't it? Because I think there's a mix of, you know, we know that there's a lot more shoppers online than there were maybe previously.
Yeah.
Whether or not they're more likely to kind of engage in sales, maybe they are because they know that, you know, there are still kind of economic anxieties, I think, after the pandemic, and there might be a desire to try to get ahead of kind of like
Christmas and
Christmas. Yeah. And trying to get it at a discounted rate, for instance. And actually, I noticed looking at the very site, there were some announcements that were made more recently about your own distribution and like logistics center. Is it called Skygate?
Yes.
And they were talking about extending the window of delivery to customers for that peak period to ensure that they could take advantage of all the sales to the kind of like latest possible moment and get that next day delivery.
Yeah, definitely. There's been huge amounts of investment in our fulfillment centres lately. And I think every year we try and push the boundaries really in terms of how we can make the experience better for customers, like you say, with extending last order dates before Christmas and things like that, trying to increase the percentage that we're able to get out next day. So yeah, I think competition is going to be huge, and I think those customer service elements are going to be more important than ever.
Definitely. Well, it's who knows what's going to happen, but it's going to be interesting, however it kind of pans out.
Yeah, I think it's going to be win-win for the customer, I think, because there's going to be so much competition. Hopefully we'll all be able to grab a good few bargains.
Brilliant. Well, I'll be looking out for the discounts on paint pots, I think, and checking out those. So. But thanks so much for joining us today. Cool. Really fascinating to hear your perspective on app tracking and also the broader kind of business's objectives for the future. So thanks for taking the time to join us.
No problem. Thank you for having me.